Well, this is loading. I'll just let you know that I forgot to do the slide that says that I do not have any financial relationships. I think that's what I'm supposed to say.
We trust you.
Nothing sketchy going on here. I'm very trustworthy. Okay. So today I've actually tweaked my talk a little bit to talk about difficulties in implementing effective electronic documentation work systems. I was going to focus on some specific documentation tools, but I've decided to talk more generally about electronic medical record systems as a tool that can promote efficiency and some of the challenges to implementing electronic medical records in a way that actually achieves the maximum efficiency benefits of EMR systems. Just to give you guys some background, is everybody familiar with electronic medical records? I assume that everybody is at this point in time. So documentation work in U.S. hospitals is currently undergoing a dramatic shift. So the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act set aside about $20 billion for implementation of electronic medical records, providing large incentives to both hospitals and individual physicians for implementing electronic medical records in hospitals. In addition, by the year 2015, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicaid and Medicare Services is actually going to begin penalizing hospitals who have not achieved meaningful use of electronic medical record systems. They're actually going to start reimbursing hospitals at a lower rate who haven't achieved meaningful use of health information technologies. So why this focus on implementing electronic medical record systems? Well, EMR systems are comprehensive documentation systems where providers can both do their traditional documentation, such as writing physicians' notes, maintaining flow sheets, and things like that, while also providing an infrastructure where people can achieve test results, they can retrieve test results, and kind of connect their infrastructure in their current unit with units around the hospital. So they're both meant to serve as a documentation infrastructure within individual units in a hospital, while also providing a comprehensive infrastructure that connects units together around a hospital. This is expected to result in large gains in efficiency and coordination among providers in the hospital. It has been estimated that if EMRs are actually implemented in a way that is meaningful, that there will be a lot of monetary benefits across the U.S. So adoption of health information technologies is expected to escalate rapidly. By about 2019, 70% of hospitals are estimated to, they project that about 70% of hospitals will have implemented EMR systems. If you think about the fact that at present only about 2% of hospitals have achieved full implementation of a comprehensive electronic medical record system, that will be a pretty dramatic shift in a relatively short amount of time. However, at present, we still do not have very much research that actually evaluates the effects of EMRs on practice. So we don't know very much about how EMRs are functioning, and we don't know a lot about how they're actually implementing providers in their day-to-day practice as they're delivering medical care. We know even less about how EMR systems are implementing the practice or are affecting the practice of nurses, who we tend to focus on physicians when thinking about implementation of electronic medical records, although nurses actually do engage, a lot of their work is focused on documentation, and they are large users. Nurses are increasingly becoming information workers who are largely affected by systems like electronic medical records. So it's very important that we understand how nurses are being impacted by these technologies. So my research today, I'm going to talk about some common faulty assumptions that administrators and designers make during the design and implementation phases of electronic medical records. Then I'm going to talk about some challenges that I observed through ethnographic fieldwork in a labor and delivery unit to implementation of electronic medical record systems. And I'm going to conclude by talking a little bit about some considerations for administrators when thinking about adopting these new systems. So these are just my kind of guiding research questions for my overall research project. What are the nursing routines for documentation during labor delivery in the early postpartum period? I focus my research on labor and delivery nursing. Labor and delivery is a really good place to study EMR because most of the labor and delivery is the number one reason for hospital admission in the United States. And it tends to be an understudied unit in the hospital when thinking about health information technologies. My second research question is, how do documentation routines affect the process of childbirth? So what's the effect on nurses' efficiency and ability to practice? What's the effect on coordination and communication among different team members? And how does implementation of health information technologies, primarily EMR systems, affect nursing work and childbirth practice? So methods. I conducted an ethnographic study of a single labor and delivery unit. This is for my dissertation research. I do hope that over time I'll be able to conduct a comparative ethnography in multiple hospitals. But for this, what I'm presenting today, this is based on observation in a single labor and delivery unit. So for those of you who are not familiar with ethnography is a research tradition. It comes from the anthropological research tradition. It's really focused around gaining a deep understanding of the way that work occurs in a single setting in order to kind of, you're supposed to, through intense observation and conversations and interviews with people in that setting, develop a deep understanding of how they see the world. So the things that they're actually doing and saying and thinking. So in my case, that, you know, I spent so much time in the labor and delivery unit that I was actually kind of tried to come to the point where I could kind of see the world in the electronic medical record through the eyes of the nurses. So why is it important to conduct research in this way? So simply speaking to people about their routines for documentation is not adequate for understanding how a system is actually impacting nurses, because documentation is such a taken-for-granted part of the work that people actually have a difficult time recalling what they do as part of their documentation practice. So it becomes very important to observe documentation practice in situ as people are actually doing these things to get an accurate idea of what's going on. So my study site, the labor and delivery unit of a major medical center in California, which I refer to as H1, it's a mid-sized hospital. They conduct about 1,200 deliveries per year. They have a very diverse patient population, both low-income and high-income. They do tend to have a lot of high-risk patients, so that was something that I need to note. They have a high-risk practice of physicians at the hospital they see a lot of high-risk patients. They also have a level 3 neonatal intensive care unit, which means they get a higher than average proportion of complicated and high-risk births. They're currently transitioning to a comprehensive electronic medical record system. I began observations about 6 months before go-live of the system, and then I conducted observations through the go-live phase and about 8 months afterwards, so about 14 months total in the field. I conducted about 400 hours of observation and conducted interviews with nurses, nurse managers, administrators, IT consultants, and additional members of the obstetrical team. So I conducted both formal interviews and just, you know, hundreds and hundreds of informal conversations that I engaged in with people as I was kind of following them around the unit and watching them work. I'm actually going to skip through this part because I don't think I have time. Okay. So two major faulty assumptions really underlie our thinking about electronic medical records. The first is that the medical record and documentation itself is simply a mirror of actual events, and the work required to create it is of no great consequence. So there's really not a lot of consideration of the fact that documentation is itself a major type of work, and that documentation is a skillful kind of work. It's not something, you know, where people can kind of just, they're not just walking up to the computer and writing down exactly what happened. Documentation itself is a major form of work that is actually kind of a key part of the medical process. The second major faulty assumption is that once a new technology is adopted, the old technologies performing the same functions go away. My observations show that this is not the case. So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to kind of go through and discuss my findings in relation to each of those faulty assumptions. So first I'm going to talk about my findings in relation to that first faulty assumption. So I find that in contrast to the idea that the medical record is simply a repository of information and a mirror of actual events, that documentation is really an active and complex process. So the medical record serves as an organizational infrastructure. It's basically a sorting and collecting device. So the medical record is where tasks are assigned, and it's also where we account for tasks that have been completed. Documentation provides the hospital work system with shape and order. It specifies what should be done, by who, and when. And studying documentation reveals typically taken for granted notions about healthcare. So documentation is also really key to the medical process itself. So if you think about the core parts of the medical process, which are observing a patient, describing what's happening, making an assessment about what's happening or a diagnosis, and then developing a treatment plan. The medical record is not just a place where that is recorded, it's really the place where people kind of do that active work of description, assessment, and treatment of a patient. So documentation is the thing that kind of overlies that process. And this is also kind of an interesting slide to note that it can really impact the experience of a patient. If you'll notice, I always think it's kind of funny to see that the pregnant woman in this graphic is laying in a bed, and so she's kind of encapsulated by the documentation process itself. So it's much easier to do documentation and to take care of a patient who's quiet and still and you know, acting well. So documentation involves artifacts that are used for information gathering. So a pain scale, a fetal monitor strip, information gathering and recording artifacts, so paper records and computer records, and embodied practices such as reading, writing, and typing. So documentation also involves routines, and so routines are kind of what specify what should be done by who and when. So for example, fetal heart rate is evaluated by the nurse every 30 minutes during active labor and documented in a flow sheet program. Documentation routines and artifacts are active agents in the birthing process. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. So documentation can really impact a patient experience of childbirth. Documentation routines pattern nurse interactions with patients. So for instance, the nurses in H1 are supposed to, they're supposed to chart on the fetal heart rate every 30 minutes. So every 30 minutes tends to be when they actually go into the room and interact with the patient. And so that's kind of specified by, rather than the nurse kind of responding to the patient and being in the room with the nurse is going in the room when she's supposed to go into the room in order to document on the computer. In addition, nurses are often engaged in both documentation and patient support tasks while at the bedside. So when we think about a nurse being at the bedside, often what that means is that a nurse is standing at the computer and also kind of interacting and chatting with the patient while she's standing at the computer. So it's kind of a different idea of what it means to be at the bedside than what we traditionally imagine. So this is a quote from a nurse just describing how she feels documentation in the electronic medical record has impacted her work of caring for patients. She says, I don't want to say I hate documentation. I know it's a part of my job, but I feel like it takes a lot of time away from time that you would be spending with patients. We have the computers in the room, so we can do the charting in there, and sometimes I'll just sit in there and chat with them and kind of be doing that at the same time. But with remote monitoring, this means that they can actually sit at a desk outside of the patient's room. You can just be out at your desk and doing your every half an hour charting just by watching your monitor. So it definitely takes time away. It's intensive. I mean, there's a lot of things we have to be charting. So basically, what she's saying is that the fact that they actually have this remote charting enables them to do the charting work away from the patient. And also that while she's in the room charting with the patient, she's often engaged in charting tasks. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about the second faulty assumption, which is that once you bring a new technology in, other technologies are actually discontinued. In contrast, what I witnessed was that old technologies are often not discontinued, even when a new technology comes into a work system. So in fact, implementation of the EMR really takes kind of a piecemeal approach. The emphasis tends to be on the effects of a single technology, the electronic medical record, but the current work system in H1 was not reconfigured or re-engineered around the new technology. Instead, the new technology was just kind of smashed into the old work system. And one thing that I thought was really interesting, when I mentioned this finding to people, they say, oh, well, that's just a poorly designed work system. But one thing I found really interesting was that a lot of the old technologies were not discontinued for good reason. So there was some reason that they kind of stuck around in the work system. Just to give you guys an example of this, in my setting, they actually had a legacy electronic medical record program called TDS. And this is what they used for order entry and things like that and some of their documentation tasks before they implemented the electronic medical record program. So when they brought the new EMR program in, they migrated a lot of the tasks they used to do on TDS to the new EMR program. However, there were certain tasks that they had to complete in TDS that they couldn't complete in the new program. So for instance, the nurses in H1 have to create a patient outcome plan for every patient that comes into the unit. This is a requirement for CMS, and it's something that CMS checks for when they come to visit the hospital. And the hospital can get in big trouble for not having a patient outcome plan. And however, the new EMR program did not have that function. So they were not able to create a patient outcome plan in the new EMR program. So their patched together solution was to keep using the TDS system in addition to the EMR program, which meant that nurses were kind of going back and forth and charting in two separate places. They actually chart in multiple places. But so then they actually have to log into two separate systems in order to complete their charting. So one problem here is that no one is really responsible for the infrastructure as a whole. Different departments might be responsible for one of the systems, but nobody is really looking and saying, like, okay, what's the logic of this entire system, and what happens when we bring something new in? So what is the effect on nurses? So what happens here is that rather than having one kind of overarching infrastructure, you end up with layered infrastructures, and the nurses are really working between multiple programs and sites of work. This feels like, actually, I usually describe it as kind of walking in molasses, but I couldn't find like a good molasses slide, so I use this quicksand slide instead. So routines become increasingly complex, And they require more and more steps to complete. So completing the simplest task might now require 30 steps that include logging into computers, multiple systems, documenting one thing in multiple places, rather than just a series of quick steps. Nurses are increasingly frustrated by this intense level of complexity. So as I said, nurses are kind of working between and among infrastructures. And this is actually reflected in the physical environment. I thought that this was kind of interesting. So one thing that happened is that during my field work, they actually started to, they built new labor and delivery rooms. And in these rooms, so I know I already mentioned TDS, but this is the unit actually uses another program for documentation also called QS, which they use. This is a bedside flow sheet program that's connected with the fetal monitoring program. So when nurses are at the bedside, they need to have access to both the EMR program and the flow sheet program. So when they built the new LDR rooms, the new labor and delivery rooms, they actually installed two computer screens rather than just one computer screen, so that they could have both the EMR program and the flow sheet program open at the same time. So now you have a nurse who's kind of standing at a computer, trying to manage both a patient and the computer, and she's now managing two separate programs. And so I thought it was kind of interesting how that was manifested physically in the room. So as I said, routines become increasingly complex. Nurses have to maintain documentation in three major record streams in addition to several additional sites of documentation. Double and triple charting is increasingly common, and this problem has increased since implementation of the electronic medical record program. And another major problem was that, so each of these systems, you know, has these kind of little blips and glitches and things like that, and so now nurses are kind of trying to fix glitches in multiple systems at once. And since they have to complete many of their documentation tasks through the computer programs, there's no other way around it. If they don't print up a transmittal for blood work, then they can't send the blood work. So they're constantly trying to troubleshoot multiple programs. Documentation is an activity that requires constant focus. So documentation requires more than simply writing or typing the required information. Nurses are constantly keeping track of open documentation tasks, coordinating and balancing multiple disparate information gathering and recording tasks, and trying to balance those along with other tasks, actually taking care of the patient, which is what they feel they're there for. Most of the nurses have developed these complex personal systems and tricks to help them keep track of documentation. So they'll actually get a piece of paper and draw up this kind of elaborate checkbox system that they use to keep track of all the documentation they're supposed to complete. And many nurses are less comfortable with one or more of the documentation tasks or software systems. So one thing that was really interesting that happened after implementation of the EMR was that the nurses actually began to chart as a team. So when a new patient came into the unit, one nurse would say, okay, I'll do the EMR charting, you do the TDS charting, and you do the flow sheet charting. And so rather than having one nurse chart on one patient, which is something that increases accuracy and efficiency, you have multiple nurses charting on one patient. And a lot of the nurses kind of described this feeling of how it was really difficult to kind of get the rhythm. And this was difficult even for nurses, for full-time nurses, but it becomes especially difficult for traveling nurses or per diem nurses, nurses who aren't working full-time at the hospital. It can take, actually nurses will describe how it takes a year or two to start to really feel like they're getting into the rhythm of the work. So one nurse said, it has taken me a while to get the rhythm here. Each place has its own rhythm and its own system, and it has been hard to transition back to the hospital because it's not just about the skills. I've gotten in trouble for not keeping up with the charting. I'm per diem and I work 2 days a week, so it takes even longer. So nurses are having a hard time not just figuring out kind of getting in the rhythm of taking care of a patient, but actually getting in the rhythm of taking care of the computer. Just to give you guys a quick example, Pitocin is a medication that's used in almost all births at some point, either during labor or postpartum. So a nurse who gives a patient Pitocin, which is a very common task for nurses, since implementation of the EMR now has to document the Pitocin in multiple places. So the nurse first you have to go through the whole process of getting the physician to enter the order for the Pitocin. The nurse then has to complete documentation in the Pyxis, which is the medication room computer system. She'll then have to type a series of notes into the flow sheet program on Pitocin administration. She may then have to document the Pitocin in another section of QS that tracks fluid given. She'll then have to log into the EMR program, which I call Voyage, to complete a series of documentation tasks related to giving the Pitocin, and create a note on a labor and delivery record, which is a paper sheet that the nurses are still using, as well as creating another note in a delivery summary after the birth has completed. And that's just a sampling of the places where they would have to complete documentation tasks related to Pitocin. So just to leave you with some considerations that I think administrators should keep in mind when implementing electronic medical record programs. When something new comes in, something else has to go out. It's really important to think about how you kind of re-engineer the entire system around the new technology. So if you bring something in, something needs to go out. Documentation is not benign. It takes time and effort. The more complicated a system, the more it will draw attention from other tasks. So nurses have only a limited amount of energy. If they're using that energy on documentation, then they're not putting that energy into other things. The work system must be considered as an entire ecosystem. And each change should be made in consideration to how it will affect the other parts of the ecosystem. So it's kind of like introducing an invasive species or something like that. You can't just kind of bring one new thing without considering how that's going to affect everything else that's happening. And also, health information technologies must be adaptable around local needs and practices. So when you're bringing in one comprehensive system, you have to think about how your unit is going to adapt that particular technology to meet the needs of the people who are working in your system. Just some acknowledgments of thanks to the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, the Center for Organizational Research, and the Johnson Chair for Civic Governance for funding this.